for the party, I didn't want to be with Policy.
Okay, alrighty. Today's our monthly meeting, Wednesday, December 12th, 2018, a little after five. Item one, opening of the meeting, A, call to order and the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item B, adoption of the agenda. I'd like to move to adopt the agenda for the regular meeting of December 12th.
I second that.
Susanna seconds, ayes?
Aye.
Aye, three ayes. So Donna said that normally we'd have number two, our minutes from the last meeting, so next month they're gonna try to get that in there.
Okay.
And so, right now, although instead of the item two we normally have, we're gonna have item two, our information and discussion. And starting off with a financial report, Ms. Donna Horton.
Yes. The two attachments that I have in here, one is a breakdown on all the funds of the expenditures. And the second page is just a encumbrance report with expenditures on the main funds that we have. It's kind of a summary of the first two pages. This page, yes, shows a lot of in the negative and the percentage in the negative, but there's a lot encumbered in the M&O and capital. There is a lot of expenditures that need to be coded to special or to state and federal projects that we need to get transferred. And between those two items, the extra encumbrances that have been duplicated on a couple POs and those kind of things, and moving those other expenditures out when the grants come full in, then it'll be back down to zero, about remaining or a little more money, but remaining into it.
Okay. And food service, that's always just kind of pending.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. It is.
Do y'all have any questions?
We're always in the negative around this time, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. Perfect. That concludes item A. And item B, a report from Dr. May Cota, from Mr. Morales.
This was the, thank you, Ms. Garner, members of the board. This was a summary of the site visit that occurred on October the 23rd. We received this report from Dr. May Cota and Elizabeth Allen. Just be aware, I have worked with both of these individuals before when I was in a previous district. So they did a site visit for about half a day, a little more than half a day, and we went in through a variety of.
Thank you.
We went into a variety of classrooms, and then we had a sit-down meeting in reference to some of the things that we're doing here at school in terms of our initiatives, and they wanted to know if we were adhering to the improvement plan that we have in place. So this is the summary report that Dr. Cota submitted to me, and so out of an interest in transparency, I wanted to share this with the faculty, which I did at a previous meeting. And just kind of outlined some things, and I sent it to members of the governing board last Friday on the Friday report, and then I wanted to see if you had any questions regarding this particular report. She will do another site visit sometime in the spring, and I will have to then report on, just as a follow-up, especially on some of the recommendations that she's making, like the next steps for fall and winter. Those are the types of things that will kind of set the agenda for the next meeting.
So did she flinch at all about how many kids we have crossing the border and residing in Mexico?
No, I think she understood and knew the conditions of our school because I believe she has worked here at the very least the last year, I don't know about previous years, so she had a really good understanding of our school. The other individual, Elizabeth Allen, I don't know if she had ever been to our school, but she came along with Dr. Cota. So we had a really good meeting. It was pretty positive, productive, and so she'll be back in the spring.
Okay. Well, I read, do you guys, I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but now the Conexiones, that is like in our third year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I noticed it was one of your successes, but I do have to give credit. You know, that came from the prior administration.
Oh, absolutely.
Correct? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
Mr. Franco had done a wonderful job in terms of making those connections and getting that started. So I was the beneficiary of all that hard work, and, you know, we've been able to do some good things, but I was pleased to find that it was there.
Great. And they'll be back when, in the spring? You're coming back?
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all have anything? Any discussion? Okay, thank you. Good job. Item C, the ADM, the audit report for the fiscal year 2016, 17, 18, and Mr. Morello.
This was a report that we received as a result of the ADM audit that was done back in September. I think I had let the board know that we were selected as a school district that was to be audited for ADM. Every year, ADE, the Arizona Department of Education, they will select certain school districts to do audits. This year was our turn, and we had two auditors come in. They worked for the better part of a school day, and then there was subsequent follow-up information that they wanted. I had kind of forgot about them, and then they submitted their report, and there was quite a bit of good news. We were able to give them all the records that they had requested, dating back to school year 2016, all the way to the present. We did have one finding against us, and that ended up costing the school district, I believe it was $9,000. What was the amount?
$9,125.34.
Yes, there was one student that there was a piece of registration paperwork where the family had filled out the appropriate information on a separate registration form, but did not put it over into the state form. We tried to work with the auditors by saying, hey, look, when they came to register the child, they neglected to put it here on this particular form, but they had done the right thing 2 days earlier when they came to register the child. And so we said, well, can we just add it to this report? It's clear that it's there. We weren't making it up. And they said, no, it is what it is as it stands, and that is a finding. Every other child they checked, we came up okay. So what they did is they took out our ADM for that particular child, and so the state will be removing that money from the money that we would be getting for ADM. So it's not like we got to write them a check. We're just going to get that much money less than we would have gotten. And so I am working with staff as we register kids to make sure that our paperwork is straight, to take the conclusions and the recommendations that they're making, so that is something that we do with every single family that comes in to register. We have some special challenges here at our school because we deal so much with guardianship. Especially for parents who cannot cross. And so that is something that I'm working with staff to make sure that that we are adhering to the rules. I do have to give credit to the past administration. As you can see, the audit reached back a total of 3 years. So There could have been more findings, but I think the paperwork was pretty straight, with the exception of that one individual.
So why don't you tell us how it goes down the pipe whenever somebody comes to our office, and initially they're making contact with Miss Elias, and then she does the primary findings, and then she hands them down to you. Is that how that works?
Pretty much. She will work with them in terms of making sure that they have the appropriate documentation, birth certificate, proof of address, making sure that the forms are filled out appropriately. If there's any guardianship, to make sure that we have the stamp necessary either through the court or through the notary. And then at that point, the ones that I get are the ones that maybe they've had attendance problems, discipline problems in the past, or there have been gaps in their education. Those are the ones that generally I will deal with. If everything looks great, they are registered. And so if you come to register your child today on a Wednesday, there's a high likelihood if you have everything in order, your child will start tomorrow. If it's in the summer, we provide them the information, the calendar, let them know about the uniform issue for our school, and then make sure that they're arriving to us when school starts. That generally is the process.
And can't the paperwork kind of be pending even before we admit them? While that paperwork is floating around and in finality, they will still can take them, right? I think that's how Marsh did it even.
We are not doing that.
You know,
we are insisting that the paperwork be in place.
Finalized?
Yes.
Right.
And sometimes that does mean that a child will delay in getting in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the past practice, and we've continued it, is they'll promise immunization records or, no, we really do live here and we have the rent receipt, we just don't have it today. And then we will admit a child and then it never materializes. And then we're in a position of saying, look, you have to, we can't accept your child.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes very adversarial very quickly. So the practice has been, look, we're just not going to follow through.
Mm-hmm.
And enroll the child and actually introduce them into the class until we have the paperwork. And that has proven to be a fairly good move. It seems to motivate parents to get that paperwork in a lot quicker.
Well, I noticed like the missing immunizations, that was a really high number too. And so that's like something's required by law. Another thing I really want you to think about is legality, because I think that really if you have a guardian, when you have a guardian, legally, the parents, you're supposed to be communicating with the guardian because the parents a lot of times just relinquish their rights. And so that's another thing you might want to look into, because technically you should be conferring with the guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another kind of complication there. And so just to kind of take that into consideration. And the other thing was our numbers. If I was noticing, I hadn't really thought about it, but we had, over 300 kids. So we were hovering around 302 and almost 302 2016. So that I had forgotten where our numbers were on that. So, okay, good job. Any questions?
So if somebody has everything when they turn it in, do we have a time frame when we have to allow them to come in, or is it just...
If they get it in and they come in with all the paperwork, we generally will get them in the following day.
We don't have like a specific timeline that we have to get them in. I mean, it's not a policy of any kind.
I'm not sure I understand.
So if the child comes in today and brings everything with the parent, I mean, are we supposed to have them in by tomorrow, or do we have a lapse time? I mean, do we have a certain time frame when we have to allow them in?
Because of our uniform policy, and we generally will admit the following day. That generally hasn't been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine a parent could insist, hey, it's 9:30 in the morning, you know, my kid's ready to go, why don't we just start them today?
Mm-hmm.
That's not something we're gonna argue.
Mm-hmm.
We probably would start them that day. As I hear the chatter in the office and as Ms. Elias is working with them,
mm-hmm.
generally the parents are okay with the following day. The ones where there is quite a bit of discussion is you don't have the proof of address, mm-hmm. and we're insisting you have it. But I can't find the landlord, but mm-hmm. you know, I haven't been able to get a copy of this. I'm working, I can't. Mm-hmm. And so Miss Elias has been great about it. She's just very patient. And she says, we can make the copy here, but we insist on having that paperwork. And when you see the amount of cost, when we have a finding against us, I am now more appreciative of just the fact that it's being insisted upon, because when the state comes in, what they do is they will take a representative sample, and you know, of all the 300 kids that we have here, you know, they go through, and it's kind of a random thing, but they might select yours, mine, but nobody else's. Mm-hmm. And then,
but that's bizarre.
But it has to be right. Mm-hmm. And if they find that there's problems, then they will widen the scope and say, okay, well, we're seeing real problems. Give us more records. Mm-hmm. But they'll come in and they'll do a representative sample.
Yeah, like a lottery.
So if you had been at this room when the auditors came in, I think there was two of these tables that were stacked pretty high mm-hmm. with Kim folders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they do their thing.
So do we have any students we're getting tuition for right now?
No.
I don't believe so.
No?
I haven't heard that we do.
No.
Okay.
We certainly are paying tuition to Bisbee for
that's why I was inquiring.
For the $1 million kids that go off to high school over there, and that we seem to pay full retail.
Well, we've never paid over $800,000, so us hitting $1 million was like hard to see. So okay, well, thank you. Good job. Any questions? That concludes item C. Item D, grants management, federal monitoring audit for 2017.
Okay, as you see in the backup here, this was a final determination audit letter, and what they determined, and this was done all by emails and some phone conversations. They did not come down. This was for FY17. And the only thing that they had an issue was a question cost. It was not a finding, it was a question cost on two invoices that were not paid out of the grant that should have been paid, and we just paid them out of another fund that was in the grant that we should have paid them in 2017, but it was never done that way. So that was a question cost. We were only able to find the purchase order and adjusting journal entry on the one for $7,000 and not the invoice, and then because that was paid out of a different fund. And there was two teachers that went to a training conference, and we were only also able to find the purchase order and adjusting journal entry, not the actual invoice on that one. So they were just... I had to submit a CAP, which is a corrective action plan, on how these were being taken care of and in the future. And I submitted that yesterday. Today I got a approval on that CAP corrective action that I did. And so I should have brought the copy, but I apologize. But saying that they accepted my letter and everything is wonderful.
Okay. So So do you want us, because it said that there were two teachers that attended the conference, and so the $3,550 was approved, and that the LEA was only be able to provide the purchase orders and adjusting the journal entries, but that's a big chunk of money, the $11,000, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so do you think we need to talk to Ms. Taylor? Or?
No, it was just a question cost. There was no money that was charged to us or anything. She accepted the correction action, which I had said that we would be more cautious on matching invoices to purchase orders and other little things like that. And no, I think we're pretty clear on that. She was very good in working with me the lady from ADE on this.
Okay.
So we believe we were going to have to pay that amount, correct?
Yes, we did.
But as a result, we don't need to.
No, we're fine, so, yeah.
Okay, so what, okay, all righty. So there's nothing they're expecting back from us in the end?
No, they just had corrective action plan is all they were requesting.
Okay, so it's a question cost, but they're not, okay.
Not finding us, no.
Why $11,340?
Well, the one item was $7,000, the other was $790, and the other was $3,550, so those three invoices.
And they were all training?
Yeah, they were training and a license, software license fee for $7,000.
Wow, okay.
License cost a lot, software license took cost a lot.
Yes, the license.
They do.
Okay, thank you, good job.
Sure.
Okay, moving on to our action items, item 3A. Presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the opening of a new bank account with Washington Bank called the Miscellaneous Clearing Account.
Yes, with the new system that the treasurer and the county school office have put in place on accepting monies, we had to open up another account just to clear our checks and cash that go through. And then I would write one check. I have a check machine here at the office now where I just deposit the check right here and scan it through and then make my deposit here for the treasurers and send it over to the county school office.
So you don't even have to go up there anymore. That's why I never see you up there anymore.
Well, I go to the county school office to pick up things and stuff.
But otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, otherwise, no, I don't have to go to the treasurer's office anymore. So that's one less stop. I have to go to the bank now.
Okay.
More often.
That's cool.
But that clears the miscellaneous checks because the accounts that we have now are for specific things like cafeteria, the revolving, and the federal withholding account. So I can't run any monies through those things. So that's why we need miscellaneous clearing.
Okay. Y'all have any questions?
No.
So is that new? Because we didn't have that before.
Yes, it is new. Yeah.
We got a new machine.
Yep, got a new machine.
Nothing further? Okay. Alrighty, without anything further, I'd like to move to approve item A, the opening of the new bank account with Washington Bank called the Miscellaneous Clearing Account.
As long as it's not miscellaneous, the miscellaneous means like whatever. No.
Random.
Random.
No, it's just more of a clearing account.
Yeah.
I didn't want it specific, say student activity or tax credit or anything. That's why the reason for miscellaneous clearing. And it does state that in the USFR. So that there can be such an account as a miscellaneous clearing.
Okay. So I'd like to move to approve A.
I second that.
Susanna seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Item B, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the fiscal year 2019 budget revision, number one.
This is what I had done on this budget revision is I increased the ADM to the current year ADM, and I took care of some deficiencies that was in the actual budget, and pretty much came out even, but it did increase the capital a little bit, so. But I needed to do that so we could pursue the rest of the year with a more accurate count for students. $30,000, that's about the only difference in there.
So do you have anything specifically you wanna point out to us that would be beneficial for us to be aware of or anything?
Just the capital going up?
Donna, just the capital going up, yes. Right. So do you?
No, I mean, it's the money we get, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's $30,000 always good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Any questions?
No.
Okay. Okay, we have nothing further and no discussion remaining, and so I'd like to move that we approve the 2019 budget revision, number one.
I second that.
Susanna seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Item C, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the pool with a horizontal increase in the salary for Ms. Marcia Bruno. So I was confused by this.
If I could explain.
Right.
Marcia Bruno is a teacher here at NACO, and at a meeting that I was having with her, she indicated to me that she felt that she was not given credit for some years of experience where she had taught prior to coming to NACO. So I listened, I indicated to her that if she felt strongly about it, please submit an email. I would consider it. I then met with Ms. Horton. She had the appropriate, Ms. Bruno had the appropriate documentation that proved that she had worked at a accredited school, and that she had been the teacher of record. And whenever a teacher comes to us from another school district, we will give credit for the years of experience. There is a limit to what we do, but I believe she had 5 years experience, and so I made the recommendation to give her credit for the fact that she had taught at a previous school district and was the teacher of record. So as a result, I asked Ms. Horton, let me know what we're talking about by way of money, and I was clear with Ms. Bruno that I was not gonna deal with the issue retroactively, that it was gonna be from now, and given if the board approved it, on forward. So if you vote affirmatively tonight, it will be reflected in her paycheck on the 28th of December, but we'll give her credit for the 14th because this board meeting is on the 12th,
mm-hmm.
and then every check thereafter, mm-hmm. in terms of just moving her on the scale to give her credit for past year's experience.
But how did it get to where she didn't have that? We didn't know how you did. How did that fall between the cracks there?
She indicated that she had asked the previous administration and they had declined the request. She didn't pursue it. And I think she took the opportunity, given that I'm the new superintendent, she made the request, I looked at it, and I made the recommendation that she should be given credit for that, because we have done that with other teachers.
Right. Do you think it's gonna open a can of worms?
I hope not, but I had to deal with it based on specifically the request that she came forward with.
And you verified?
Well, accredited, what school?
It was Cochise County Department of Corrections.
All right.
She was a teacher for the youth that are incarcerated.
At the detention center here?
Yes, it's an accredited school. They issue grades.
It was in the prison system though, right?
Yeah, she was a teacher of record. And so at that point, I didn't see that it would be fair to deny her, given the fact that if we had had a teacher come with 5 years' experience from Palominas, we probably would have given that 5 years' experience. So I didn't see how I could give the Palominas teacher credit, but not someone coming out of Department of Corrections.
Right.
And I hate, but what does Ms. Bruno teach? Ms. Bruno, what does she
teach? She is a science teacher at our middle school.
And she was here and then she left, and then she came back.
Correct. And I believe she returned in 2016 or 17.
It was 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
How much of an increase are we looking at?
I think it's a total of
4,000 a year.
And what it does is it basically it moves her across. She is just given credit for 5 more years.
So it's a horizontal.
So it's a horizontal move.
And what is it, 45, did you say?
And it's not retroactive. So it's from here forward. And she understood that. And she understood that I could not make that decision, that I was merely making the recommendation, and that when it comes to issues of pay raises or any kind of pay adjustments, that the governing board has the authority to do that. So that's why we're bringing it to you. And I recommend that you approve that.
Okay.
Did she give any reason why the past administration didn't, you know, say why they didn't give her the 5 years?
What she indicated to me is that she made the request verbally.
Mm-hmm.
She was told no. She didn't pursue it because she said I needed a job and I didn't want to make any waves. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is kind of a quandary for me because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that need an increase. But
just to think that they're, you know, the new guy, I'm going to go to the new guy and tell him, you know, I want, you know, like, at least 5 years. And I don't want to say, I hate to say no to an increase when they have additional five years of experience.
Right.
But it just, it's questionable as to why
and what
they denied it.
Why did she wait, you know, the other thing.
She did it
because
whenever she first came in here.
When you were told no, did you know that you could petition to the governing board? And it was like, that was when the statement was made. I didn't want to make any waves.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was initially hired, it seemed to me that would have been something obvious on her credentials.
And I can tell you that when teachers are hired, and once we do the interview and I'm in the process of offering them the job, we look at the resume, we look at the teaching record, we look at past history, and obviously if teachers have previous experience, they're very motivated to get that right up front and say, look, you know, I have a master's degree, I have this many years experience. Mm-hmm. Obviously if somebody comes in with like over 10 years experience, you know, that's not something that we can support. And so we will often cap it at like 10 years. In this case, like I said, she made the request. It was difficult for me to write her a memorandum and say I'm not considering your request.
Right.
Because it to me, that would have been something that would be, you know, why am I denying this when I've approved this over here?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessarily that I was thinking about past administrations or anything like that. It was more, you know, she came to me and said, hey, look. But what I did make sure to let her know is, look, this isn't going to be where you're going to come in if it's approved and you're going to say, okay, now give me credit for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very clear with her on that, and she said, no, don't worry about that. This is just, you know, kind of making it right.
So the application that they submit doesn't go past by, that wouldn't have been on her application, this.
So if a teacher comes in with 15 years experience and is transferring here, we won't give them the 15 years experience. I think the most we'll give is 10.
But normally they still have all their experience on there, just to show that they've been there and done that, you know, type thing. And that's the other reason is, I've known Ms. Bruno for a long period of time. And so we did do kickboxing together, and so that's why I wanted to make sure that I'm trying to be
fair, yeah.
Considering all the options, so I don't want it to appear that I am leaning one way nor the other.
Yeah.
And we don't do kickboxing together anymore, but just saying. So, okay, you have any questions?
No. It's not retroactive, it's starting now.
Right, and so just hold on to your hat. So I have a feeling there might be some people falling there. We have any questions or discussion? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Do we have to decide today?
Well, their paycheck is going to, they have to.
We could table it if you guys don't want to touch the 10-foot pole.
We don't have a meeting until the 4th or whatever.
There isn't anything about the inability to wait.
Right.
So if this is taken up in January, it's taken up in January.
The next board, whoever is coming in, whoever that may be, I don't know that this is going to be like Japanese to them, because they're not going to understand really what's going on at all for a while. If there's two new people, and nonetheless, one is definitely not going to be experienced. So
I understand your concern in terms of opening up a Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would have had to deny something that I had a hard time denying because of the logic of this. And so I thought about it and said, you know, I have to move forward because she petitioned.
Right.
She made a request.
Right.
Others may make a request, and if they do, I will consider them individually. But this is something that when they're onboarding and when they're coming into the organization, we make sure that is part of the onboarding process, and they usually will spend time with Ms. Horton, where we will then determine where you fit in the scale.
Right.
Based on the amount of experience. I think that was done with Ms. Bruno, and she noticed that there was these years that weren't counted.
Right.
And she made a request. She was told no. She left it alone. And, you know, I don't feel like I was being taken advantage of.
Right.
But it was a request that she was making because there is a new administrator.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, my dilemma is why, if it's so obvious, why wasn't that part of the whole subject when she first applied, that she had those 5 years there? Why wasn't that on her application? Why wasn't that recognized at that point and not hindsight and down the road later on?
Well,
you know, where she had to approach a superintendent, why wasn't it on paper?
Please don't assume that it wasn't there. And I think that's where she had indicated, can I get credit for this?
Yeah.
Which is not an uncommon question.
Right.
In fact, it is very common that if a teacher is coming on board, you know, they traditionally will say, look, of course I'm getting credit for the 3 years I was in Bisbee. And, you know, and sometimes if they've been at a school that maybe wasn't accredited or they were a long-term sub or, you know, it's a school far away, you know, then we have some pretty detailed dialogue.
Right.
And those are some of the questions we ask is, was it an accredited institution? Were you the teacher of record?
Mm-hmm.
Did you issue grades? So we go through that, and she was able to produce documentation that
she did.
That she did, and she was working.
So she worked with ADJC, the Arizona Department of Juvenile Correction, in Arizona,
right.
So here.
Mm-hmm. But then she left the state, and then she came back. Right.
And so I reviewed the records, passed them to Ms. Horton, and said, check this out, make sure it's legitimate. Ms. Horton came back and said, I'm seeing what you're seeing. It looks like it's in place. We asked more questions of Ms. Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I said, I will take this to the board.
Okay.
the job, excuse me, if the job description that she provided from the previous place did ask for a certificated Arizona certificated teacher. So, and that was in the job description, and she did have her up-to-date certificate, so
okay,
that qualified her there.
Well, and you know, maybe this is happening for a reason, that maybe individually we'll end up reassessing everyone to see what's what, you know, I don't know. So we'll see what happens. But right now we're talking about Ms. Bruno. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys, do you have any discussion or?
I'm going to follow your lead on this one. I mean,
well,
I mean.
It sounds like everything's in order.
Okay.
I just feel like we're kind of setting a precedence, and I feel awkward doing that for Ms. Bruno when we have
a lot of other people.
But
it might come up again then.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
Right. So do you guys, do you feel?
I feel like we're going to do it, the board that have been together for 6 years already, we should just do it and not leave it to a
hanging.
New board that's going to come in.
Okay.
So
right.
I want to
okay.
follow your lead.
So, in light of all the records, and we don't have anything further that we can possibly exercise as far as mm-hmm. figuring this out, I think that I'm going to move that we approve it in the attempt to make it right by her.
Okay. I second that.
Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. No, Susanna. Okay. All right. Item D, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of substitute teachers for the fiscal year 2018-19 school year. The other day when I was talking to Mr. Morales, we realized that we had teachers working as substitutes that aren't, hadn't been approved by the board.
Oh, okay.
And so, anyway, so this is the list. I thought that we, remember last time, I think we had like three?
Two.
And so these people some of them have been working as subs, but they hadn't been approved by the board. Mm-hmm. And so, in the discussion with him, we realized that we had, there was an infraction there. And so, so this is the current list. How it came up is I said, Mr. Rowe has always been on our list. Why isn't he on there? We need to get a hold of him. He said, always is on the list. And I was like, well, it wasn't on the list. We approved, and so now he knows that we are to approve all of the substitutes prior to them being employed, because
okay.
That's what we do. So,
Ms. Garner's correct. I apologize. The previous list that I had brought you, but way back, I think it was maybe late July or August, these were the long-term subs.
Mm-hmm.
See, a long-term sub is someone like a Miss Christie.
Mm-hmm.
And she studied to become a teacher. She's a long-term substitute. So she was one of those teachers that was brought forward. I had not brought forward the individuals that are the daily subs.
Mm-hmm.
A daily sub is an individual that, let's say, tomorrow morning a teacher wakes up and is ill, and so we need somebody to cover that class. These are the individuals that come in.
Yeah.
Or that would come in.
Well, and basically, I don't know, you know, how it differs from county to county, but more or less, anybody that's employed or teaching or anything by NACO has to be approved by the board.
Yeah.
And either, no matter what it is, it has to come before the board, or they're not authentically or employed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and so that's why we do hire and fire.
I appreciate that you pointed that out, and so we quickly got the list we're bringing it to you.
And Ms. Seaver, actually, she's somebody that just departed, you know.
Yes, and Ms. Seaver is a little bit different because she is a teacher and works in Bisbee.
Mm.
But they don't work on Fridays.
Oh.
And so...
And she's fed.
From time to time, we need her on Friday, and so she has indicated... She's very selective. And if she has nothing else going on, but she is on the list, and so as a result, I wanted to make sure that you were aware, but it's only on Fridays and only seems to be select Fridays.
So this makes our number up to 7. Alrighty. Any questions?
No.
Okay, without anything further, I'd like to move to approve the substitute teacher list for the fiscal year 2018-19 school year on item D.
I second that.
Susanna seconds, ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item E. Uh-oh. Here we go. Item E. Presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of the proposed SBA bylaw change, Article 8, Section 1. The board will discuss, consider, and give direction on voting on one bylaw change proposal and one core belief addition from the Arizona School Board Association. This bylaw proposal has been offered by other ASBA member school boards, ASBA committees, and ASBA board of directors. It must be approved by 2/3 of the ASBA member boards to be effective. After discussion, the board will vote to give direction to blank to vote in the manner the board has approved. This is another strange thing. Because after looking at this, what really kind of concerned me is towards the end, the closing date to vote electronically had already passed by the time we had our meeting, which was December 6th at 5 p.m. That was one of the things. And then they offer language for placement on a future board agenda. And so why don't you tell us about this and why it benefits us in any way?
I'm not too sure of the benefits at this point. I know I had a call from DPUF requesting that the schools in Cochise County put this on their agenda. She said that she called ASBA. The date has been extended to the 14th, to Friday. So the voting can still take place. So she, with the proposals A and B that they have listed here, they need a consensus of most of the ASBA member boards to get this approved either way, affirmative or negative.
So what's the blank? Direction to whom?
That direction could be either you, Dr. Morano, or myself.
And was this handed down by the state? And what is a statute? I didn't see a statute. There's no statute.
This is by ASBA law changes. No, not by, from the state. It came from ASBA.
Huh. See, normally if we have a law change, there's usually a statute.
Because I don't think it's a law change. Is it?
No.
It's
not
a
law.
It's the Arizona State Board Association that
right.
is changing. So,
right.
Which is not the
as an organization of ASBA,
mm-hmm.
right?
we've never seen this before.
And that's, I mean, what is the change?
And look at the
proposed date.
That's why this is confusing, like proposal A and proposal B, you know?
Uh-huh.
Proposal A is an endorsement from the ASBA Board of Directors, the ASBA Governance Committee, the ASBA Equity Committee proposes that an additional statement on equity should be added to the ASBA core belief statement. And then that has a background, additional statement on enhance ASBA's core belief regarding educational equity for every student. And then B is the ASBA Governance Committee recommends that a bylaw may be amended or repealed by a majority affirmation vote of all the board members. And the background, currently a minimum of 2/3, 66% of all of ASBA member boards must vote in the affirmation to amend or appeal a bylaw. And so I was kind of leaning towards proposal B. Personally, but I don't know because I don't know a whole lot about this. Because see, then the second one is still staying with the board making the decision,
yeah.
And A is seems more vague to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It looks like it doesn't stay in the school. It goes out to the
outside,
association.
Right? And so. What
so
do you guys?
We have to vote on one of the proposals, or
yes.
Yeah,
because there's a deadline.
Yeah, I think B is better than
okay.
A. Yeah, I agree with B.
So
yeah.
At least it stays here in the community. People don't know what goes on, or how we work here, or like you know.
Well, our community and our school is unique,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like any of the other cities mm-hmm. in Arizona anyway, and because we are on the down here on the
yeah.
border, and even Nogales, and They're bigger schools. They're not a little two-horse town like us.
Yeah.
And so, in that regard, so we have
they
to approve this, but the voting, that's...
But you said it got extended to the 14th,
yes.
So we can
because
vote on it now.
There were so many other districts that had not put this on agendas.
Okay, so we need to approve it for one, and then do we do have to decide on which proposal?
Yeah, so if you want A or B.
Right.
And then put someone to make the voting,
okay.
Do the voting, either Dr. Morado, yourself, or me.
Okay.
What do you mean, Dr., do the voting?
We have to submit...
To go online and do the voting.
To go online
okay.
and do it.
Okay.
And actually, I was told when I called yesterday, she said I could just email her your decisions on this.
Okay, cool.
So that was good, too.
Yeah.
So do you mind being the designee for that, Donna?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So we, okay?
Proposal B. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and vote. So on item E, I'm going to move that we approve item E with Donna as the designee and item B as our choice, if I could get a second.
I second that.
Susanna seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Rosas? Aye. All three. All righty. Okay, we don't have paperwork on our superintendent report, right?
No.
Paper? Oh, okay. So that concludes our action items. Moving on to item four, the reports, and item A, the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Ms. Gardner, members of the board. I would like to thank Ms. Rosa Ramirez for her dedicated service to our school and our students. Your service is much appreciated. And won't be forgotten. I wish you well in your future. Thank you for everything you've done for Navajo.
We all agree.
And so we got you some cake. And there's a card for you. Maybe after the meeting, if you give us a piece of cake, we'd be really appreciative.
It's our dinner for some of us.
I have a suit.
So I hope you stay in touch, and so anyway, congratulations to you.
It's been fun.
Yes.
Working with everybody.
Fortunately for us, you know, Rosa is like the rest of us, we can't leave, and so we're going to be a part of this regardless, one way or the other. So, you have been just so great, and your sage wisdom there will be greatly missed,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Sure.
And,
I have to ask you.
So
we're about to finish our first semester. I'm very proud of our teachers and staff, and very proud of our students. They've worked hard, and we've had a successful semester. Our Christmas program is set for next Thursday evening on December the 20th at 6 p.m. in our gymnasium. Please know each of you are invited. We're inviting parents to come in, but we believe that we'll have quite a few that will come out to our gym, and I hope that each of you can make it. So we will wrap up on Friday, December 21st. That is a school day. There will be an early release, and teachers and students will then scatter quickly, I hear. And then we're back on Monday, January the 7th. So I am working with staff in terms of individuals that will continue to work over the break. There are about 6 work days, 3 each week, where we will have a skeleton staff. We will hand out payroll on the 28th, and I'll make sure that I'm here to address that issue. And then on the following week, to make sure that the heat works, the technology is in order, so that when our kids come in on the 7th, we're good to go. So that's what I'm working on right now. You saw about the audit findings, and I'm keeping you updated with that. I want to give a shout out to our student council. We have an up and running chapter, and they have their constitution written, and we're now holding events, and if you come out to one of our athletic games, you will see some snacks being sold, and all that money goes to student council.
Big plate of nachos.
Ooh.
Yes. And so that money will in turn be used to support student events here at our school. And the important thing for me is that they learn about service. And so they already have a bunch of ideas about, you know, how they're going to help out and provide service here at NACO and within this community. So it's a good leadership opportunity for quite a few students. And I want to give a shout out to Jen Thomas because she's our advisor and she's really taken to it. So I just wanted to let you know that that's up and running. And we have a current enrollment of 317 students. I'm very, very proud to say that our enrollment is holding steady, which is really good news heading into next year's budget. That'll be really good news for us. I am pleasantly surprised because in many school districts, you'll see that increase to about the 40th day, and then you'll see a drop off. And here it's just been steadily kind of going up. We started the school year, I think around 290 students. Mm-hmm, we're up to 317. Mm-hmm. And the 100th day is Tuesday the 16th of January, or Tuesday the 15th of January. And so the state, I know, uses the 40th day and the 100th day as indicators of staffing and budgeting. So that'll be really good news as we get started.
Are we still doing the 100th day, or are we in real time now?
We are in real time, but they still make factors off of those 40th and 100th day.
Sorry, say that again?
We're real time, but...
I'm budgeting, and but the state still uses the 40th day, because if you look at our reports, they're still based on 40th and 100th day. So they want you to go, when you go and do a budget revision or set next year's budget, they want you to look at the ADMS 45 and 46 and pick those numbers up for the 40th and 100th day.
This affects me because I do the PowerSchool uploads to let the state know how many students mm-hmm. we have, and so it's important for me to know like the time frames that they're yeah. checking. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
The last item I have is our January 2019 governing board meeting is set for Wednesday, January the 9th. It's that week that we get back at 5 p.m. here in the multipurpose room. I believe there will be a swearing-in ceremony prior to the meeting for new board members, along with the setting of the calendar for the meetings for January through June. And I think it's a pleasure of the board, but in terms of how you select officers, and I think that's up to the governing board. But that January meeting is pretty much, that seems to happen at all board meetings across the state. So I don't know how it's been done here historically, but
we do our
but we're setting our meeting for that January the 9th.
See, here's the problem is that in the past, we've always had one member remaining, and meaning that's why we have two-year slots and 1 4-year slot, because every time that there's an election, one person that has history and experience is already still remaining. And then if you have new people coming in that have never been on a board, you still have somebody that has some experience. This is the first time that all three of us went up for re-election, and that isn't supposed to happen, period. Because it really puts you in a crunch whenever you don't have somebody in there that's still here. And so, and it's not, nobody wants this job, you know? I mean, it's not like the pay isn't. And it's like banging your head on the wall a lot of times, you know. But and then again, you know, Mr. Morallo and I spoke about this the other day, is that I really want to get back to the basics that number one, our kids are the priority in their education, two, being our teachers and them making a decent salary and being content and people working together, and then the rest will follow. But I think that we have to get back to learning and making the kids being a priority and not the chaos or any of the other stuff that happens sometimes. And so that's just my idea, my little pipe dream. So, but anyway, I really would like to get back to being about the kids and not the political business going on. So, that's all.
That's my report. Cool.
Okay. Thank you. Good job. I don't want it to end. We're just gonna stay here like this forever. Have a sleepover. So we have our superintendent's report. Do we have a call to the public? No? Nobody to drag this out? Okay. Okay. All righty. I can't fabricate anything. It's not on the agenda. We don't have any call to the public, and we have our date set for next month. And so thank you, Ms. Rosa.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure, and you're still going to see our faces around.
Thank you.
So with that, I'm going to call for an adjournment at 6:15.
1 hour exactly.
Have you need a vote, girls?
Second that.
Oh.
Second for the last time.
See, Susana doesn't want to leave either. Rosa seconds, eyes?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Good job. Thanks for coming, guys.
Oh,
right.
Oh, yes, okay, yes. I
and then I just kept forgetting to bring them back.
Let me cut the cake.
Thing issue here is I think I just kept forgetting to bring it back. We signed every place else, but this top piece is on there.
No,
yeah.
Sorry.
I
didn't find it. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, this is Mr. Kim's pen.
Keep it.
I'm looking for him, man.
You get the first one.
Thank you
for doing this.
Thank you.
I know.
I think this might be Miss Rosa's pen.
Sweet is my
brown.
Bye. Lots of love.
Cousin kisses. Okay.
I will see.
Hi. Susan, is this you? This blue pen?
Rosa.
That's
Rosa.
You're still 2 years.
What? You still can't tell us apart.
No.
6 years
and
she's
still.
I might have
got my butt. 6 years.
I know. I had to find out because I took over Dorge's position.
You know, Dorge Valenzuela, that's how I got on it, remember?
Yeah.
So I came over
out. He knew all the bylaws. And,
oh, I know.
Yeah. Still, she seems crazy, you know.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know how to stop this.
I'll take care of it.
Okay.
Does it seem like we've done this for 6 years?
Oh, this is your pen.
Thank you.
I'm passing on cake. I have to go pick up the.
You don't want to take it with you?
When you went to Disney today, I can't. So I have to go. We want to go cross-eye with me?
Sure. Take it with you.
No, I'm good. I'm good.